Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us at WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We got some great fun stuff we're going to get into. Got some entertainment news to kick things off. Some That Ain't Right stories a little bit later. Great good stories of the day, including some local stuff we're going to get into. Mm-hmm. All that coming up for you. We also have some great stuff we're going to be covering throughout the week here. And Melissa's got that for us. What do you got there,
Mom? So the January 6th panel had to reschedule because of Hurricane Ian. Mm-hmm. So they have rescheduled that for this Thursday, and we will air that on WFHR at noon. They are continuing the investigation into the January 6th attack on the Capitol, and this is potentially the final hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So we are glad to be sending that out on our airways.
Proud to have that out there.
And that you will be able to listen to it here on WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on Thursday, we will be airing the gubernatorial debate between incumbent Governor Tony Evers and then his Republican challenger, Tim Michaels. They will be debating from 7 to 8 p.m. We will be airing that. And then it will rebroadcast as we can on Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., but not if we're airing a local game.
Mm-hmm. Proud to be able to play that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to start the hour off on a controversial note. I don't mean to do that. I don't try to be that way, but I can't help myself. And I feel like this needs to be said. I'm not comfortable with the word gubernatorial. I don't like saying it. It's not easy for me to...
Gubernatorial.
I don't like that word. It's not easy. I want a different name. Call it something else.
Can we
call
it something else? It is kind of a funny word.
It's a funny word.
Where did it come from?
It's a weird word, isn't it?
I actually, I was reading that. I'm like, wait, is this the governor? No, it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with politics or the government or anything like that.
It's a weird word.
It's just the word is weird to me. Nobody should have to say that before noon.
Nope.
Like, nobody.
Nope.
Thank you, Melissa. For that, appreciate
you are
it.
Welcome.
Diving into some entertainment news, and we kick off on a good note here. Scott McCreary was honored with the Randy Owen Angels Among Us Award from St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Nice.
The award recognizes country artists who are committed to their cause. Past recipients include Brad Paisley, Darius Rucker, and Florida Georgia Line.
Hmm.
He was I've seen very few people that look more like humbled than he does when he's receiving this award and everything. It's
That's
a nice,
awesome.
Nice picture. Certainly very cool on him. And good on St. Jude's, too, because this stuff brings awareness to these things and hopefully encourages more and more artists to do this stuff.
Yeah. And the good work that they do.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. This is pretty cool, too. And while this subject matter isn't new. It's very new from this particular artist. A previously unreleased Queen song with Freddie Mercury on vocals is dropping on Thursday.
Really?
It's called Face It Alone, and it was recorded during sessions for Queen's 1989 album The Miracle, which I believe was the last one he got to work on. When the band first discovered the track, they didn't think it was usable. Brian May said, quote, "We looked at it many times and thought, oh no, we can't really rescue that. But in fact, we went in there again, and our wonderful engineering team went, okay, we can do this with this.
Hmm.
And it's like kind of stitching bits together, and it's beautiful, it's touching, and it's a new Freddie Mercury song. I don't care if it's the worst song I've ever heard in my life. I cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear that.
Wow.
That is really cool. It's well documented, and this goes all the way back to Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa would wake up in the morning and record an album. That's just what he did. So there, even to this day, is hundreds of hours of unreleased music that the Zappa family has. Ozzy Osbourne used to, at parties, play this CD of Randy Rhoads, his former guitarist who passed away really young, who was a genius. Randy Rhoads did this album of all classical music, like the most famous Beethoven and Bach and all these, but on guitar. It was never released, but Ozzy has a CD of it. He played at parties and stuff.
Cool.
Prince has they say hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of music just sitting there at Paisley Park that may never be heard. Some of it has been released.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, Tupac has had a ton of music come out since his passing and all that. So this isn't uncommon.
Yeah.
But it is pretty cool when it happens, though. Like, I feel like it's an opportunity for the fan base of all these people to have that moment, that one last moment with that artist and everything. It's there. I've seen every single thing Rob Williams has ever done. I mean, we're talking interviews. When his plays were released, I've seen those, and I've seen this all multiple times. There's one movie called Boulevard that he did. It was his last movie. I still haven't watched it. I still haven't watched it. I can't get myself to watch it. I know it's the last. I know silly this sounds. I'm a grown man. I've never met him. But his connection to me, even he didn't know it, was too impactful. And I still haven't gotten myself to be able to watch that movie.
Because it's a piece of him that's still there that you haven't gotten to experience yet. And that's understandable. And to not yet.
There's a part of me that's dying to watch.
Of course. Dying to watch it, but then that's it. You've seen it all.
Yeah, and I just can't.
And you can't cut that connection yet. I get it.
I'm the only person in the world that, the last six episodes of The Sopranos, I put it off for years before I watched it. Like, I had heard how it ended and all this, so I wasn't worried about being, spoilers or any of that. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get my, because I love the show so much.
Right.
God help me what I'll do when The Simpsons wraps up. I have no idea. Don't even bother me. Don't even bother talking to me or anything. I'm just weird about this stuff. I admit it. I wholeheartedly admit I'm weird about it. But with music, complete opposite. Give it to me. I want it now. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to have it. I don't know why I'm different with that, but this is an interesting one too, I thought. Celebrities who don't sign autographs. A list of celebrities who don't sign autographs out in the wild has gone out. These celebrities, you can walk right up to and ask them for an autograph, and they'll be happily oblige. That's some. On the other hand, there is those that don't.
Yeah.
But not everybody who doesn't sign an autograph, that's all you get. Like, some will say no, but others have other things they do. So we'll go through this list.
Okay.
Maybe one of the most famous is William Shatner. William Shatner is famously, he's been actually, I wouldn't say he's proud of this, but it's no qualms about telling somebody this.
Mm-hmm.
He'll happily sign at conventions where you have to pay, but it's just not practical in public. He says, quote, "If I do it for one person, an instant line of 50 forms."
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's been, and the fan base that has popularized William Shatner in Trekkies and everything, that's a little different than your average fan base. It's Star Wars, any of those kind of eclectic kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that with him. I also could see, being reasonable about that too. Once in a while, I would think that you'd sign some autographs. I mean,
yeah, but he's so recognizable and so well known that if he goes out anywhere and then that happens, I mean, just want to have a nice dinner.
I could probably count on, maybe two hands, the amount of autographs I've signed in my life, Melissa. I have no leg to stand on here. I got no idea what it's like to be even a B celebrity dealing with this. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good point. Bryan Cranston. A little surprising because one of the more likable guys in the industry and one of the people that has so many pictures with fans and everything. He was Malcolm's dad in Malcolm in the Middle, very famous from the Breaking Bad series.
Oh, that would be why I don't know who he is.
He used to be more accommodating, but in 2018, he said, after 18 years of signing everything for fans, I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. He did say he'd be willing to pose for selfies, though. And then there is Steve Martin, one of the more creative, funny, intelligent human beings that have ever walked the earth, one of the people I look up to so much. When I heard that he didn't sign autographs, it actually hurt me. I look up to him. That feels like a jerk move and everything. Well, it's not clear what his policy is now, but back in the 80s, Steve used to hand out pre-signed cards that said, "This certifies that you have had a personal encounter with me and you found me warm, polite, intelligent, and funny."
I love it.
Winner, winner. But you'll never top that.
Chicken dinner.
You'll never top that.
Nope.
That's the greatest ever.
Perfect.
And I will give credit to Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill heard about this because he also is a big, looked up to Steve Martin and everything. And he borrowed the idea by handing out cards that said, "I just met Jonah Hill. It was a total letdown."
Nice.
That's really good. Now that is a complete opposite to me. That's almost better. That is better than an autograph.
Well, that is better because it's something that he took the trouble to make and get printed. printed versus a pen and writing on a napkin for you?
Yeah. And if I met Steve Martin, I would want that interaction more than an autograph, a selfie, anything else. Yeah. Ringo Starr. He famously retired from signing autographs back in 2008. And Paul McCartney has said he'd rather have a conversation with a fan than sign an autograph or pose for a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Yeah. If you tell me I can have one of two things, I can have a conversation with Sir Paul McCartney that nobody else is going to hear, so nobody's going to believe me one way or another I have, or I could have an autograph. I'm not even a question.
Yeah.
This happened to me with John Cusack, where I'm in the elevator with him, and I had enough time to ask him for an autograph. It didn't even cross my mind. Mm. I just wanted to thank him. I just, you know, that kind of thing. And nobody else was in there. Nobody is around for that. I don't even expect everybody to believe me on that. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah.
I was there. He was there. I have the moment in my head. That's all that matters to me. I don't begrudge people wanting to take a selfie with somebody and post it on social media. To each their own. I got nothing against that. Yeah. Just my style, what I prefer, is that personal one-on-one kind of thing. That opportunity to have that moment with somebody that you look up to or that you admire, that seems pretty cool.
Well, and I think it's becoming more popular, I guess, maybe is a way to put it, to have experiences over things.
Yeah.
You know? To be able to have an experience and enjoy something versus, well, I got this fancy whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if, hey, sign this. And what do? They take a pen, they sign it, and then they hand it to you, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so you didn't really have
it. So what are you to them? An autograph.
Yeah.
Whereas you could have a little conversation and interaction. And I don't know, but when I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back at the experiences that I had and remember those memories versus looking at a pile of things around me.
It's interesting. I would say maybe the first kind of semi-celebrity or person I met was actually just a couple blocks from here at the old West Junior High. Joy Hargrove, I believe. Yeah, I'm not saying it right, but she's a Native American author.
Mm.
She did a speech over at the old West Junior High, and we were there from East as part of it to see it and everything. And afterwards, she took some questions from everybody, and then we got to go up there, and you could have her sign the book and stuff. And I went up, and I had like a little five-minute conversation with her as a young writer. And I can remember almost every word of that conversation.
Mm.
And that meant way more to me and had a huge impact on me and the rest of my life as a writer, let alone the way that I would like to be if I was ever in that position.
Yeah.
I know exactly how I would handle these things. You want me to sign something, I'll sign it. But if you want to have a conversation, I'd much rather do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do think having a signed, you know, like an autographed copy of a book or an album is cool.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
things are cool.
Mm-hmm.
But just random autograph on something? I don't know.
When I think of autographs, I think of it more for like other people. Like, I could get Stephen King to sign this book and I could give it to my mom, the biggest Stephen King fan I know. Like that kind of thing. Like for myself, it's more the personal, the thing that I can, the memory I can hold on to. I don't want to be on my deathbed holding an autograph. I want to have that memory in my head.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell. He's another one who prefers the conversation scene because it gives him a chance to meet the fans. Quote, I respect them and want to intermingle with them. And that is not surprising. Bruce Campbell, one of the more likable guys in the industry. And one of the greatest jaws of all time. Like one of the greatest jaws in human history. This is a little surprising. Billie Eilish. Now she, her fan base loves and adores her, and she is very close and connected to it and everything, a very Taylor Swift type of thing.
Yeah.
She stopped signing in 2019 because getting crowded by autograph hounds made her uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I used to, but I realized all anyone did was sell everything that I signed, so I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
It's very disheartening if you take the moment to sign something and all anybody wants to do is put it on eBay.
Sell it for the amount of money. Yeah, that's it dehumanizes them.
We don't really run into this anymore, but back in the day, it used to happen to us at FHR where we would have, like, we got to give this away. And we give something away, and we would have the same people trying to win that stuff all the time, and they would turn around and sell it. Like, you know, I mean, it's like we're a small station. Not anymore, but we used to be a small station and stuff. We didn't have a lot to give. That really sucked. That doesn't really. Now, you could also make the argument, hey, they want it. It's theirs to deal with whatever they want, and I'm not going to fight you on this. It's not a hill I'm willing to die on, but I do think it's a little shady. I do think it's a little lame.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is an interesting one. I never heard about this. Greta Garbo. Greta Garbo, one of the more legendary known actresses, she reportedly had a habit of refusing autograph requests and ignoring her fan mail. I never heard that. I'm a little surprised by that.
Interesting.
To be fair, I also don't know a ton about Greta Garbo either, though. So I guess I wouldn't be as familiar with that. But I am very familiar with her work and an incredible actress. Anna Karenina. It's the first one I think of.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, the most the least surprising one, I think, on this list, at least if you know anything about him, Joaquin Phoenix. A woman once approached him for a photo in a store. He told her no, but had a chat with her instead. He says it was fun. Then she went and bought her tube socks. And I bought my sweatpants and moved on. Like that's all he said about it. Like he says that this is the only time it's ever happened to him. And then he went and said that anytime anybody asks him for them, he'll ask them, what are you going to do with it? Or question him about it or whatever. I have a hard time believing that every single person that comes up to him, like if there's a crowd of people, he's going to take the time to talk to each one of them and ask them what they're going to do with his autograph and that. And then he refuses to do it anyway. Like, it's just kind of like it's different. If you are, Gandhi, if you're Mother Teresa, if you're somebody like this or something like that, like a little bit different standing. If you're an actor, and I'm sorry, and everybody that's ever listened to me 5 seconds on the air, you know how I feel about acting. Mm-hmm. I have it held in high regard. At the same time, if you're an actor, sign the dang autograph. Because I come back to John Waters. And I always thought that, hey, you leave somebody alone, all that stuff. Be respectful. Somebody sitting there with their family having dinner. Don't bother them, you know? I still believe that. But I will say that John Waters really made me think differently about this because he said on The Daily Show once that, he's sitting there eating dinner once and somebody, he could tell this person is looking at him and recognizes him and wants to come say hi, but he won't. So John Waters is finally waves him over. And the guy comes by and he's like, I didn't want to bother you while you're eating dinner. And John just looks at him. He's like, oh, honey, you paid for this meal. You bought my book. You saw my movies. Right. You're the reason I'm eating in this fancy restaurant. Come on over. You want to sit down? I kind of feel more like what he does. I would hope that I would handle it that way. I would hope that I don't want to pretend like I would know because I have no idea. I've never been in that position.
Yeah.
But I would hope that I would handle it that way because I believe that he's right. Now that gives you only so much carte blanche.
Right.
I am completely opposite on this when it comes to like TMZ and all that stuff. I can't think of much more lamer work to do for a living than going through celebrities' garbage. Than waiting outside a celebrity's house for them to come out and catch them with their curlers in their hair or something like that. Like, get a freaking life, man. I mean, get a job. Get some real work in your life because that ain't it to me. Like, that is some of the lamest stuff in human existence to me. They're a celebrity. What are you doing with your life? For one, the people that care about that information and the people that are actually, quote unquote, hunting it down. Like, I don't see any of this as interesting. But what gets people to see movies? What gets me, for me, it's, I know this actor. I know he's talented. I can count on him to give me a good performance. For other people, it's sensationalism and these things. Yeah.
And some actors lean into that more than others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they prey on that to garner fame.
Which all the more, to me proves my point. If you're an actor, I mean, get over yourself. I mean, I take it seriously enough for all of us, so you don't have to worry about it. We'll come back. I got an interesting story to hit on before Melissa's news. We'll do that when we get back on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you, wrapping up our entertainment section here. This is kind of interesting. There is going to be a new comprehensive punk rock museum, Punk Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. The first comprehensive punk rock museum opens in Las Vegas in January. Fat Mike from NoFX spearheaded the creation of the first comprehensive punk rock museum, and he just announced yesterday that it's opening in Las Vegas on January 13th, 2023. Just a few months. And here is the interesting part for a lot of people. Everybody gets in. Everybody. Mike says, quote, if you're a punk band, you're in. It's that simple. The museum's collection so far includes Devo, Energy Domes, those little helmets they wore, the Vulture's old T-shirts, Debbie Harry stuff, old Vulture T-shirts that belong to Debbie Harry, Sum 41's bright green chainsaw from the Does This Look Infected tour, the acoustic guitar Rise Against used to write their songs. There's just a ton of stuff in there if you're a punk music fan. Now, for those that don't know punk that much, the origins of punk and the original like meaning of punk rock, you were punk rock until you got a record deal. Anybody with a record deal, you weren't considered punk rock. Right. Basically, if you were popular, you couldn't be punk rock anymore, which always seemed like one of the most ridiculous things in the world to me.
There's a little bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah. I mean, you would think as a musician, you want as many people that can to take in and enjoy your music.
Right. But that went against the message that punk rock was trying to do.
Yeah. And that also, like to me, that also, it's not... It holds the music away from others,
right?
Like, and I don't think that as an artist that's fair. Like, as an artist, we have to learn that once we put something public, it almost ceases to
it's
be
not
ours
yours
anymore.
Yeah,
I mean
to
that's
to
fair
a point,
or not.
Obviously, like you know, copywriting and plagiarizing aside.
But the interpretations and what people get from your art, it's not your call. You don't get to choose that.
If you really were true punk rock, you wouldn't have put your music out on the airways.
Exactly. Yes. So for me, like it kind of seems silly to you know, get mad at...
Along that line of thinking.
I remember when I was a kid and when Green Day got really big and everything, they were getting a lot of heat from other punk bands saying that they had sold out. Because they're popular? Like, I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it doesn't change the fact that what they do. Now, it's a completely different thing. If they're Green Day, they come out and they're looking the way they did on their first album. By their second album, they look like a pop band.
Totally different and
that's
change
different.
Their sound.
Yeah, that's completely different. But if you're just staying true to what you are and you just happen to get a good record deal with a good company, I mean, do your thing, man. That's what the whole point is of being an artist, is being able to get paid to make a living, doing what you love to do.
But
that's
this,
one of the points of art.
This speaks to the fact that record companies, very often, they will find a young, budding artist and go, okay, we like your sound. We like this, this, and this. Sign you onto a record deal. Now we're changing everything.
Yep.
This is what you're going to wear. This is how you're going to sound. Yeah. This is how you're going to look. And they do that, which is probably why a lot of these punk bands were reacting the way they were. But if you can stay true to your music and stay true to what you are doing, regardless of what a record company is trying to do to you, I mean, more power to you.
I never understood that part about punk music, but this I completely understand, and I think it's one of the most punk rock things I've ever heard. You have a Hall of Fame that
everybody
gets in. That's punk. That's punk rock. That is awesome. That is actually really a cool idea, I think. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I also look forward to the acceptance speeches. I have a feeling those are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
We will take a break, get to Melissa's news. When we come back, then he writes stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun on mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday. Mine just got a little better. I love this beat. Love that guitar. Such a sucker for an excess. Hope you guys are having a great, great Tuesday out there. We got some good stuff coming up. I want to get into this one right now. And this is a That Ain't Right story, although it is one that not necessarily anybody to blame for. The newest iPhone has a cool feature called crash detection that can tell if you're in an accident and automatically call 911.
Okay.
It's part of the reason I even got the update on mine was because of this feature that I thought was pretty cool and very smart on their part.
Okay.
However, minor glitch.
Minor. I think I know where this is going.
Turns out it's been calling 911 for people on roller coasters.
Oh.
It uses something called a high G-force accelerometer. It detects four types of crashes: front, side, and rear end collisions, and also rollover crashes. Mm-hmm. It's not clear which one roller coasters are triggering, maybe all four, but you could definitely see how a loop or a corkscrew might look like a rollover crash.
Yeah.
Especially, it's just an AI system. It's not, able to detect these, little things.
You need to be able to enter into the phone. I'm on a roller coaster. Don't call 911.
I'm cool. I'm cool. It happened at multiple parks, including Six Flags Great America near Chicago, and it's happened at least six times at Kings Island near Cincinnati since the iPhone 14 went on sale less than a month ago.
Mm.
So this, not even a month, and this has already been happening like crazy.
Yeah.
You've only got 20 seconds to cancel the call once it detects a crash, and obviously you're not checking your phone on a roller coaster.
I would hope not.
Or might not hear the alarm go off. So yes, first responders have been responding to some of the calls.
Mm.
And that ain't right. That's not cool.
And that's on iPhone.
Yes.
On Apple to fix that.
Big time.
And pay for those calls.
Right. The idea of an accident, this kind of accidentally happening, is understandable. But then when it comes to the catching of it and mm-hmm. getting on this and really should have been figured out,
Right away.
It's their own fault. They set the bar high. Like, mm-hmm. they have shown their intelligence. They've shown that they can figure most of these things out. When they have these things happen, it's human error. It does happen, but at the same time, it's like,
And they're connected to the internet. Send out a patch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, boom, get it figured out and do it,
Yeah.
It's not clear if Apple plans to do something about it, but luckily there's a way to avoid it. If you have the new iPhone and you're in line for a roller coaster, put it on airplane mode.
Oh, or shut it off.
Or shut it off, yeah. But airplane mode works too. I guess that's the big one that they're telling people to do.
Yeah.
Similar to when you get on an airplane.
Right. Because then it disconnects you from the towers.
Yeah. And it's... It's not a funny situation because any time that we're asking first responders to show up and they
are not needed.
Chances are they're needed somewhere else and that they're not closer to the place they're needed to be. So there's mm-hmm. nothing funny about that.
No.
I do love the idea though of the iPhone people they're all sitting back.
Oh no, we didn't think about roller coasters.
iPhone 14 is out. We're all done, everybody. Nice work, everybody. All right. We're gonna make another $1 billion off of these things. We got lines of people lined up for these darn phones. What's that? What?
Roller coasters?
Roller coasters? What are you talking about? I mean, we didn't have it. Oh, God, no.
Okay, we thought about that. What if they fall out of their pocket and they drop it from a two-story building? We thought about these things, but roller coasters? Man.
I never liked the idea of somebody losing their job. We do this in sports all the time. Head coaches, fire them, get them out of there. These things. I do it too. I'm just as blamed as anybody else. But I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable every time I do it or I hear my friend do it or something like that. But somebody's going to lose a job from this. And they're going to be just standing there with the other stuff, a box, and like, really? Like, I did everything. I checked every single box. I didn't think of roller coasters. Oh, the one thing I didn't think of.
That's a lot to think of.
That's just rough. There's no way around it. That's just rough. I mean, you should have caught it, yeah. But at the same time, it's like, well, kind of understandable. Like, you miss one little sliver of a thing. But that's a big thing to miss.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, yeah. I did mention this earlier in the show, and I just wanted to bring it up one more time. Yesterday on Playmakers, we are going to be having a GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peachman, on with us. Peckman on with us. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to talk with Paul. I've gotten to talk to him a little bit. Great guy. Really, you guys are going to love him. Mm-hmm. Anybody who hasn't gotten to talk to Paul or hear him yet, you're going to love him. I guarantee it. He wasn't able to join us yesterday. We weren't sure why. Got to talk to him this morning. Just a little under the weather.
Yeah.
So
feeling well.
Wish him well. Hope he's feeling better. And, especially because, the work to be done, as Coach would tell you. There's a season going on here and a good one.
Mm.
I mean, we are rolling right now as River Kings fans.
Nice.
It's going good right now. we want to make sure that every home game, we are filling up that arena with just a packed house of River King fans. I want madness in that arena. That's hockey, baby. That's the way we show home ice advantage. And we want to make sure you get to these games. Now, if you can't make it to them, we got you covered. Every home game of your River King is going to be right on our sister station, Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI, all season long. And, man, that is not going to get old saying, Melissa. I'm going to say it as much as I can. But we know if you're even a sliver of a hockey fan, you know what home ice advantage means.
Yeah.
And we want to show that. We want you to go to these games, so we're going to help you do that. We got two tickets to give away. Mel's got one. I got one. We're going to put them together and put them in your hands.
All right.
Call up 424-2600 right now and just be caller number two. Caller number two.
Okay.
Go ahead and call up at 424-2600. Get yourself some River King tickets. Call up 424-2600. Get these tickets. You can get your tickets right now at riverkingshockey.com. Support your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river.
But these are good for any game.
Any game. General
admission.
Any game. Any game.
Through the whole season.
You want to go to the next home game? You want to go to the last home game? It's up to you. They're your tickets. You can do whatever you want with them, but you got to call up and win them first. 424-2600. Call up. Win these River Kings tickets. We'll be giving away some more throughout the rest of the week here.
Nice.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And I want to remind everybody that Morning Magazine coming up in just a little under 15 minutes, right at the top of the hour. We'll get Morning Magazine going for you. And in part one, we're going to talk to our friend Katie Wright, events coordinator with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Excellent.
And in part two, let's talk real estate with our friend J.R. Seward and Cole Banker, Seward Realtors.
Nice.
It's going to be a great one. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about learning and ask, you know, being willing to ask silly questions and that. The conversations I have with JR are a great example because I knew nothing about real estate going into that. And no problem asking him silly questions. And over the years have learned quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't know if I'm ever going to buy a house, I don't know if I'll ever be in that position, I feel so much more prepared when that day comes.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Going to be an hour of great conversation. Stick around for it, everybody. I'm not saying this lady deserved to be scammed. I don't genuinely believe anybody does. And scamming is a cowardly act done by cowards, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But how do you not see this one? How do you not see this one? A 65-year-old woman in Japan thought she was in a long-distance relationship with a guy from Russia, but he was pulling a very common scam. He said he wanted to marry her and start a life together, but needed money to move there. This is a scam that we've heard many times.
Very often.
Here is the twist. He claimed he was a Russian cosmonaut living on the space station. And he needed money to get back to Earth.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
And she fell for it.
Oh, like, poor lady.
Yeah, I feel for her. I'm not trying to make fun of her or anything.
No.
And we talk about these scam artists because we hopefully, you know, hopefully another person won't get taken by this
because
or whatever.
They prey on people's good intentions. And this one, makes me mad.
It makes me very mad. And it is not speaking to her intelligence or anything like that. However, she's 65. Like, I mean,
she just wanted to be loved, James.
I get it. I get it. But she's 65. I mean, how did you make it this far? And you've fallen for this. Like, there is some personal responsibility that has to come in, too.
But there's also manipulation and gaslighting.
Melissa, absolutely.
And all of those things, which can really mess with your brain.
1,000,000,000%. 100% agree with you.
Yes.
Just what the what, though?
and questions about her support system, you know, the people in her life.
She sent him 4.4 million yen, just over $30,000.
Wow.
He said most of it was to cover the, quote, rocket costs.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't wise up until he continued to ask for money. That's when she finally realized he might be a scammer and called the police. They've been investigating, but it does not look like she's going to be able to get her money back.
Oh.
And again, we bring these things up to hopefully help somebody else not from getting scammed, not to pick on this lady, because it could happen to anybody, and I'm going to be 65 one day, and this could happen to me. But at the same time, it's kind of like, what the what? I mean,
Like, maybe that's more the point here. Instead of me, you know, trying to make a funny comment out of this and make it exaggerating and everything, the fact that people that age could be that lonely, mm-hmm. that you would, like, it's not so much maybe that she fell for it, that she wanted to believe it.
Right.
And we can con ourselves better than anybody in the world mm-hmm. can. Nobody can con you like yourself can.
Very true.
And that's probably the stronger point to be made here, is that we have so many senior people, not just in our country, but in Japan, in other countries. Mm-hmm. India has tons of this,
yeah.
where these scammers really live. You think we get hit up here in America. India, it's nuts what goes on. It's a job there. Like, people will do it as a job out there. They yeah. make so much off of it, because you have seniors in every part of the world
right.
that are left alone, that mm-hmm. aren't we just abandoned. We just, hey, you retired. Thanks for all your service. Now I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. And that's a society I don't want to live in. That's not right. That ain't right story. That's mm-hmm. the true that ain't right story, along with his scammer here, is that we have so much of that. And it makes me bring up Meals on Wheels from the ADRC. And this is not the cure-all to this, but this is one of the ways that we hopefully help a lot of our senior population not only get nutrition, get a meal, but get a good conversation.
Yeah. Have an interaction with another human.
I hope to do a lot of good things in this world, and I hope to leave this planet better than it was when I came into it. But one of the best things I'll ever do in my life, no matter what I do, is being a part of Meals on Wheels. Those mm-hmm. couple of years I did it out in California. Big time. Like, yeah. I still remember those conversations.
Being a volunteer, there is so much we can learn from the elderly population in our world.
If you're lucky, you'll listen and learn. Yeah. If you're lucky, you know, because they're willing to share. Mm-hmm. You just got to be smart enough to listen.
Yeah.
Another good story of the day, one we brought up earlier, VFW night at Culver's.
Mm.
That is going on tonight from 4 to 8 at our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's. This is where 10% of all proceeds from both drive-through and dine-in will go to support programs and operation of the Buckley Bowl with VFW Post 2534. VFW members will be door greeters from 4 to 8, each of the so for tonight, and I do believe this is the last one of the year.
For the season, yeah.
So get there if you can. Not only are you going to get some great Culver's. I mean, come on. Well, you don't need an excuse to have Culver's. It's good stuff. You've never had a bad Culver's meal. You've never had a bad fry from Culver's. I'll even say that. You get some great food. You can see some of our veterans.
Yeah.
Say hi. Thank them. Make some eye contact. And, you know, you're putting back into your community, because that's what the VFW does. Put
yes.
right back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Support local. Also, some other good stories of the day here. The Coast Guard rescued three guys off the coast of Louisiana on Sunday, and just in a nick of time, their boat sank Saturday morning, and they'd been bobbing up and down in the water in life jackets for a day.
Oh, man.
It was just in time, because they were actively being attacked by sharks when the Coast Guard showed up.
Oh, man.
Two of them suffered bites on their hands, but they all survived.
Oh.
The rescue footage. Now, for everybody that gets into horror movies and all that, I don't have any interest in that. But these things, I can't
real
like,
life
take my
scary.
Eye off of. Yeah. And I watched it like three times in a row. It's, yeah. You ever seen those videos of people like in those shark cages?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, you know, down in the depths and the sharks come out and everything. And like, even those get me a little bit. Like, I know they're safe.
They're protected. These like, people are vulnerable. And obviously they got bit. Ooh.
Yeah.
Scary.
An 18-year-old horse named Mongo is back home after running away and spending the last 8 years living with wild Mustangs in Utah.
Oh, my.
The owner says Mongo hasn't changed and had no problem being saddled up. He's just thin. A little thinner.
Stop gallivanting.
Probably been doing a lot more than gallivanting. There's a lot of things that'll keep a horse out in the wild, and, especially around Mustangs. My goodness, one of the most beautiful things you will ever see in your life is a Mustang running wild. Like, there is nothing like seeing a free horse.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like it. I mean, horses, when they run in general, just one of the more beautiful yeah. things you'll mm-hmm. ever see. But in the wild?
Mm-hmm.
A Facebook group called DNA Detectives helped a 33-year-old Pittsburgh woman find her birth father.
Ooh.
He had no idea she existed or that he had two grandkids.
Ooh.
They met up 2 weeks ago and will spend Thanksgiving together.
Aw, that's awesome.
That's beautiful. Hmm. If you're a cat person and need a pick-me-up, check out Purrl.com. It's Purrli. That's Purrli.com. It plays nothing but cat purring sounds to help you relax. That's actually not the worst idea I've heard today. And you can dial it in. So maybe you're in the mood for a sleepy cat purr or one with meows mixed in or something like that. There is something kind of calming about a cat laying on your lap or whatever, and when they get to that sleep, that purr, that there is something calming about that. I can see, but that's more about the vibration to me. Like maybe it is a sound thing for others.
It's a sound thing too. Yeah,
I can see that. I can see that. That's a great story,
that's
though.
That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. I can't imagine that they're doing that to make money from it. I mean, it's a number you call, and they always tell you $1.99 a minute or whatever. Like, they're not charging anything for
right.
it. So
this is a website, right?
I guess maybe you could sell advertising or something on there. I don't know. You could. I mean, there's a billion cat food companies. And get them involved in everything.
Visuals popping up. Yeah.
This one I just thought was a fun story. It comes from UPI.com, and credit to Ben Hooper for the reporting on this one. A group of 8 skydivers over the age of 80 jumped out of a plane above Florida and broke a world record for the largest formation of jumpers in their age group.
Wow.
The Jumpers Over 80 Society, or JOES, nicely done.
Perfect.
Nicely done. Organized the attempt at Skydive to Land as part of a 3-day event for the International Skydiving Hall of Fame celebration. 8 JOES members, gosh, that's good, Jim Cuthery, Cliff Davis, Scotty Galen, Walt Green, Paul Heinen, Sky Humsky, Woody McKay, and Ted Williams, made the jump and arranged themselves into formation to break the world record, which previously stood at 6 jumpers.
Wow.
Skydive to Land said photos and videos from the event are being submitted to the Guinness World Records for official recognition. But according to Guinness and according to them, it's all just a matter of,
formalities.
Yeah, they've got this.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else catch that, though, of all those names I mentioned? There's a guy named Sky Haminsky.
Yeah.
I could, that's great. That's so good. Man, that's fun. If I'm fortunate enough to live to 80, I hope to God that I am this kind of adventurous. I am this kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
That you're able to, like, more power to them.
Uh-huh.
I hope they do it at 90, too. I hope they're around to be able to, and that they do it at 90, too. That'd be fun. Visitors to an In-N-Out Burger fast food restaurant in Las Vegas. You ever been to an In-N-Out?
I have not.
They tend to be a little like Hot Now here, where it's just a drive-through.
Okay.
Literally In-N-Out kind of
thing.
I guess it is saying in the title. I probably didn't need to mansplain the name of it to you.
Actually, it did, because I didn't know. I've never seen one.
Mm. So they were at an In-N-Out Burger in Las Vegas, and they were treated to an unusual scene when a man brought his camel through the drive-through to enjoy some fries.
Camel.
A video filmed outside the eatery on October 4th shows a camel named Fergie walking through the drive-through lane with her handler, Brandon Nobles.
Okay.
And Brandon just thought that this Nobles told onlookers Fergie is a 14-year-old camel rescued from her former home in Colorado. The video shows Nobles taking Fergie through the drive-through to get French fries. She loves French fries, apparently.
So the fries were for the camel.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Okay. Fergie now lives on Noble's farm and has paid visits to numerous local businesses, including children's hospitals.
Hmm.
And Fergie visited other restaurants, including Wendy's and Einstein Brothers Bagels. Now, that just makes sense. Those are just good bagels.
Right.
I mean, certainly, you don't have to be a camel to have good taste. The fact that this happened at Vegas and it happened late at night is perfect.
Yeah.
So perfect. Because I can't imagine how many guys went up to their buddies and stuff like, you're never going to believe what I just saw.
Camel in a drive through. Yeah. Have right. another one, buddy.
Right, you're cut off, man. Yeah. You're cut off. No, it was a camel eating French fries. I was completely sober. Like, yeah. Give me your keys. Give me your keys.
Yeah.
Fine. That's one of those ones where you're definitely taking pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Like, definitely. Like, I'm definitely.
I got to prove this happened.
You got to. You mm-hmm. have to. Melissa, great time with you today, as always.
It's been fun.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to be having a good time. You, Seth, and I will be hanging out. We'll see what fun we can get into. Mm-hmm. I really want to get into that weirdest lost and found items.
Oh, yeah.
I meant to last week, and we never got a chance to, so maybe we'll dive into that. That'll be fun. But you have a great morning.
Yeah, you too, James.
All of you have a great one out there, and stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on, well, you know what, Katrina, you tell them.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.